Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother. To Philemon, our dear friend and fellow worker. To Apphia, our sister. To Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church that meets in your home. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and Lord Jesus Christ. I always thank my God as I remember you in my prayers, because I hear about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints. I pray that you may be active in sharing your faith, so you will have a full understanding of every good thing we have in Christ. Your love has given me great joy and encouragement, because you, brother, have refreshed the hearts of the saints. Therefore, although in Christ I could be bold and order you to do what you ought to do, yet I appeal to you on the basis of love. I then, as Paul, an old man, and now also a prisoner of Christ Jesus, I appeal to you for my son Onesimus, who became my son while I was in chains. Formerly, he was useless to you, but now he has become useful both to you and to me. I am sending him, who is my very heart, back to you. I would have liked to keep him with me, so that he could take your place in helping me while I am in chains for the gospel. But I did not want to do anything without your consent, so that any favour you do would be spontaneous and not forced. Perhaps the reason he was separated from you for a little while was that you might have him back for good, no longer as a slave, but better than a slave, as a dear brother. He is very dear to me, but even dearer to you, both as a man and as a brother in the Lord. So if you consider me a partner, welcome him as you would welcome me. If he has done you any wrong or owes you anything, charge it to me. I, Paul, am writing this with my own hand. I will pay it back, not to mention that you owe me your very self. I do wish, brother, that I may have some benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. Confident of your obedience, I write to you, knowing that you will do even more than I ask. And one more thing. Prepare a guest room for me, because I hope to be restored to you in answer to your prayers. Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, sends you greetings. And so do Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, and Luke, my fellow workers. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Thanks be to God.
Well, many of us will have enjoyed refreshments over the Christmas period, non-alcoholic and alcoholic. When we welcome people to our home, it's pretty normal to offer them a drink. Would you like a cup of tea or something else? Refreshments are a way of oiling the wheels of relationships. You may remember Heineken had that campaign for beer that ran for a very long time, which went like this: it refreshes the parts other beers cannot reach. Did you notice as we read through Philemon, the references to refresh kept cropping up, not of liquid refreshment, but spiritual refreshment, refreshment of the heart. A refreshment that's been brought about by an individual, Philemon, whose life has been transformed by Jesus. He is a refreshment to Paul, who is in prison in Rome. And he's refreshed because it reached his heart in a way that nothing else could. We might say of a drink, oh, that's so refreshing, it's just what I need to pick me up and restore me. Well, have a look with me at verse 7 of Philemon. You see Paul's words of commendation. You, brother, have refreshed the hearts of the saints. It's not language that we particularly use, but I can think of some here who are truly refreshing. When you meet them, you know it. They're a bit like a long, cold drink on a hot summer's day. You walk away from them feeling encouraged and stimulated, and yes, refreshed, joyful. Unfortunately, they're something of a rare breed, harder to find than should be the case. So I found myself asking, do others consider me refreshing? You can let me know afterwards. I wish I could more routinely answer yes. But ask yourself the same question. Bear it in mind as we look briefly at this little gem of a letter. What would it be like if we were striving to be a refreshment to others as we meet? Refreshing not the parts that other beers can't reach, but refreshing the heart as we bring encouragement or comfort or help from the scriptures. Before we dive in, let's just recap so we got the story clear. Paul is writing to Philemon, most likely a wealthy individual with a large household. He owed, verse 19, his faith in Jesus to Paul. Verse 2, his house had become a meeting place of a Christian church. Many think that Apphia was his wife and Archippus their son. Paul sits in prison writing, and we find him expressing his affection for them. See how he refers to Philemon, our dear friend and fellow worker. Archippus, our fellow soldier. Here are people active in serving others in the name of Jesus. And then there's Onesimus, who we meet in verse 10. He had been one of Philemon's slaves. And verse 11 we read that he'd been a pretty useless one. And he'd done a runner, quite possibly robbing his master before he went. He'd ended up in Rome, and in God's amazing sovereignty, he found himself coming into contact with Paul, hearing the gospel and being converted. Maybe he recalled hearing his master Philemon speak of this great Christian leader who had had such an impact on him. Now it's time, Paul decides, for Onesimus to return to Philemon. No doubt he would have preferred to stay with Paul, but now, as a fellow disciple of Jesus, he needs to go back to repent of his ways, of what he did, running away and stealing from him. That would be easy to say, but not to do. Onesimus was guilty of one of the most serious offences in Roman law. And he would expect returning to a master extremely harsh treatment. And there were some cases of death of a slave who was caught or returned. But he would have had some comfort in knowing who he was returning to. Not only had he been transformed by Jesus Christ, but he knew his master had been transformed by Jesus. And this is where we'll start. So far, we've been setting the scene just by way of introduction. Two things I want to say. Firstly is seeing God at work, seeing God at work. Verses 4 and 5. I always thank my God as I remember you in my prayers because I hear about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints. If you've been here in the last few weeks, we've been looking at the book of Colossians, and this very much fits with Colossians. There's lots of similarities. And here is one, because the opening of the letter Paul wrote to the Colossians says very similar things. You remember we met Epaphras in Colossians. He was the one who had brought the gospel in the first place to the people in Colossae. And now he is with Paul, we read, verse 23. He's now actually a fellow prisoner. We don't know the circumstances of that, but he's now become, like Paul, a prisoner. But when he came to Rome, he must have brought news of Philemon, that he was going strong in his faith in Jesus. You remember that great thrust of Colossians 2. Just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith. So here was Philemon doing just that. And Paul is quick not to congratulate him, but to thank God for his work in Philemon's life. For he shows, or he knows, that this is a work of God by his Holy Spirit. And this news of Philemon that he got refreshed him, verse 7. So much can conspire against Christians standing firm in Christ. Think about yourself and what pulls you away. The world, the flesh and the devil, the world with all it offers, the post-Christmas sales. Our hearts are so easily distracted and set on earthly things on offer in the hope that they will somehow satisfy us. The flesh with all its appetites and sinful desires, contrary to God's good purposes for us. And Satan whispers in our ear, doesn't he? Don't worry too much about the lordship of Jesus. You do what you want. God won't mind. This Christmas, we've had Christmas cards. I'm sure most of us have had that, but many of them have had letters in them. And we've heard from some Christians still trusting in Jesus despite the year they've had. Really hard times, in some cases sickness and bereavement and relationship meltdowns. It has been a great encouragement to hear of them standing firm. It has, if you like, to use the language of Philemon, been refreshing. But never, you see from verse 4, faith on its own. Faith is seen in love. Love for all the saints, he says, other believers. Love, which biblically we understand to mean that willing sacrifice of a sacrificial service of others. As the Apostle John says elsewhere, this is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. So just as we saw in Colossians, please note, it's not love for some of the saints. It's not love for the saints I like. It's love for all the saints. There's no exclusions, there's no reasons for not loving some. And this is going to be tested in Philemon's case. Paul thanks God for news of God's work in his life. And shortly, he is going to ask Philemon to accept Onesimus. Will he love him now that he is one of the saints? But he's caused him a whole heap of grief. He's done a runner. He's nicked some money. He's a useless fellow, verse 11. No wonder verse 6 then comes next. Because news of answered prayers doesn't mean that Paul stops praying. He says this in verse 6, I pray that you may be active in sharing your faith so that you may have a full understanding of every good thing we have in Christ. It's a difficult verse. The sharing of your faith, though, is speaking of the idea of participation, partnership, fellowship is the sort of word. He's saying this is what you have in common. We share in Jesus Christ through our faith in him. And he knows this is going to be put to the test with Onesimus. And so he prays that God will be at work reconciling these two who have fallen out. Now just think for a moment. Is there anyone you are struggling with relationally? Let's be more specific. Anyone here within this church, this body of Christ? You might be saying, oh, no, there's no one that I can think of. Well, come on, be honest. There'll be those who irritate you, maybe who have upset you, or worse, have hurt you. Do you make sure you avoid them and just don't engage with them? Well, that's not fellowship. That's not active sharing in Jesus. Because what we're doing is we're allowing differences to divide rather than what we have in common to unite us. But we say it so hard after what's happened. Well, yes, that's why we need to pray and ask God to be at work. For as we pray, we exercise faith. We express our dependency on God to do what we find impossible to do, is to love the unlovely. And so we pray, Lord, please help me. Change my heart, my attitude and my actions towards this particular person that I find difficult. And you know, as we pray, God does a work in our hearts. He changes us and transforms us. He gives us new hearts towards them. And how refreshing it will be to see relationships changed, to see God at work reconciling us to each other, as he has done through Jesus Christ. So I'm not into New Year's resolutions, but this would be a good one, wouldn't it? To pray for ourselves, verse 6, I pray that we may be active in sharing our faith so that we may have a full understanding of every good thing we have in Christ. That sense of sharing what we have in common rather than dividing over our differences. Seeing God at work, that's really the first thing to say. But secondly, seeing man at work, verses 8 to 22 really bear some reading and rereading because they show how Paul sensitively and lovingly approaches this difficult or potentially difficult pastoral situation of the runaway slave Onesimus, having been converted, now a disciple of Jesus, returning to his master Philemon. Just think how he could deal with the matter. He could use his authority of the apostle of Jesus, to whom Philemon owes so much. As Paul says in verse 19, you owe me your very self. But look at verse 8. He says, in Christ, I could be bold and order you to do what you ought to do. But that isn't the argument that he uses. He doesn't lay down the law. No, he says in verse 9, I'm going to appeal to you on the basis of love. And what is it he wants him to do? Well, you have to go to verse 15. He wants him to have him back, that is, Onesimus, for good. And this would be something to get your head round if you were Philemon. No longer Onesimus as a slave, but better than a slave, as a brother, or as he calls him, a dear brother. So see how Paul sets out his appeal of love in verse 10. He starts by telling Philemon that a great transformation has occurred that has come about in Onesimus. He's become, he says, Paul's son. Verse 10. Not blood, obviously, but Onesimus has been born again. He's come to faith in Jesus through Paul's prison ministry. He was a criminal, useless in verse 11, but he says he's returning a different man. Useless has become useful. It's a lovely play on the name Onesimus, which you'll see in a footnote in your Bible there, means useful. It's very ironic because the last thing he was useful. But useless has now become true to his name. He has become useful. And look how Paul goes on, the deep affection Paul has for this runaway slave. He's my very heart, verse 16, or he's become very dear to me. So dear, verse 13, I would have liked to keep him with me so he could take your place in helping me while I'm in chains for the gospel. See how useful he's become. In fact, he's become so useful, he puts him on a level with Philemon. He says, well, Philemon was a fellow worker with me. Now, Onesimus, well, he's just the same as you, Philemon. He has taken, or he could take, your place in helping me. Here was a true partner. And now Paul wants Philemon, verse 15, to have him back for good. No longer the master-slave relationship, but as brothers in the Lord, as well as in the flesh. In other words, in terms of their human relationship. So finally, he gets to the point in verse 17, this long appeal to love. He's deliberately and carefully made the case. Lovingly tell Philemon how God has been at work, seen in Onesimus' transformation. And now he calls on him to be at work himself, to practice yet more what he preaches. So, verse 17, if you consider me a partner, welcome him, that is Onesimus, as you would welcome me, that is Paul. And here we come against the same word that we read of in verse 6, the sharing, partner, fellowship word. Paul and Philemon enjoy this fellowship through Jesus Christ. And on this basis, Paul calls Philemon to welcome Onesimus as he would welcome Paul. Now, if you've ever had to engage with, let alone welcome anyone who's wronged you or hurt you, this takes some doing on your part. There's an injustice that may have been done to you that you may be feeling rightly needs to be corrected. It would be just the same for Philemon. And verse 18, Paul is conscious of that, but he doesn't want that debt to stand in the way. So what he does is he does the extraordinary thing. He offers to pay any debt that's outstanding. So if Onesimus did steal money, Paul is saying, I will repay the debt on Onesimus' behalf. It reminds you of someone, doesn't it? It reminds you of Jesus Christ. He pays the debt we owe God for all the wrong we have done him, freely, willingly. So it isn't just an appeal of love. We see that Paul, in sending Onesimus back, is acting in love at cost to himself. He's losing a fellow worker, but he is also saying, I will pay any debt that is outstanding. But he also recognizes it will be costly for Philemon to receive this slave back who has wronged him so badly. But not to hold that against him, to have him now as a brother, as a dear brother in Christ. If there's to be effective partnership, fellowship in the gospel, this is what it takes sometimes where there are difficulties. So where do we need to be at work amongst ourselves? Not just talking about the love of God in Jesus Christ, but acting towards one another in love, willing sacrificial service of others. We can think of lots of reasons where we're not going to go towards others in love or serve others in love. I'm with children all the time, so I don't want to serve in the youth and children's work. I've got lots of people in my life. I haven't got time to get to know new people at church. We can go on and think of the reasons that we give where we're not willing to serve sacrificially. Just like Philemon, he would have had lots of reasons not to take Onesimus back. And what Paul does, he elevates this issue between them to a gospel issue. He sort of takes it to a higher plane. He reminds him of who he is in Christ, a partner sharing in Jesus Christ and his love for them. And we should keep coming back to this appeal of love. Because humanly speaking, we're a disparate group. We're people from all sorts of different walks of life. Different ways of relating, different experiences, different ages, different stages, different education, different financial. There's so many, we could go on and on. Differences which we can allow to divide us too easily when things don't go our way. But come back to this letter and the appeal of love. Love rooted in a love of Jesus Christ. Just think who refreshes your heart spiritually. Who encourages you in Christ? Who is an example of persevering faith in Jesus? And who demonstrates love for all the saints in their willing sacrificial service? Now, you may be thinking really hard. I can't think of anyone, you might be thinking. Well, don't let that stop you being refreshment to others. You will need to pray about it. So it's thinking and then it's praying, verse 6, that you may be active in sharing your faith. I don't think he's so much talking about evangelizing and speaking to those about Jesus Christ who aren't already Christians. I think he's speaking to those amongst the body of Christ. That's why he addresses it like this, that we will be active in effective fellowship, asking God to be actively serving others. Think, pray, and then act. Be at work. For as you work, depending on God to help you, he works in you. And you will be refreshing the hearts of others. That's the benefit that Paul is looking for in Philemon. Just look how he finishes, and where it's well finished. Verse 20. I do wish, brother, that I may have some benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. But you think, hang on a minute, you've just told me that you're refreshing, we've had all this news, you're refreshing all the saints. Yes, Philemon is doing that. But he knows too that the challenge of Onesimus is going to be a great one. And will he, Paul, be refreshed to hear news that yes, Onesimus and Philemon are reconciled to one another, treating one another as dear brothers? What news that would be to Paul in prison? We don't know what happened. But you can see the point that he's making for us. Will we be at work actively in loving others, all the saints, not just those we like or get on with? That's not what he's talking about. Those who maybe have upset us or hurt us, will we be active? And then verse 21, I love, because he wants to have this benefit. And then on the other hand, he says, well, I'm confident that you'll be obedient. Confident in your obedience, I write to you, knowing that you will do even more than I ask. And that's a great note to finish on, isn't it? Because we see God at work amongst us. He is at work amongst us. There's great cause for thanksgiving to God of that work of refreshing one another, our hearts in Christ, that goes on amongst us. But it's no point in sitting back on our laurels. it will require ongoing work, and may that be the case in this coming year, that we too will be obedient in the knowledge that we, with God's help, will do even more than he asks of us. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this little letter, so much that it contains that we've only just really skimmed on this morning. We thank you for the appeal of love, a love of the Lord Jesus that might work out in our love for one another. And we pray that we will be active in sharing our faith, and that indeed we will not be looking just to be refreshed by others, but we will be a refreshment to others ourselves. So please be at work amongst us. Help us to depend on you and to be active in seeking to bring encouragement and refreshment to others in Christ in the midst of all the challenges that we face in life. For Jesus' name's sake, amen.